Florida Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Joe Lundberg.
This report brought to you by Leaders Casual Furniture.
You can shop for patio furniture at those big box stores where the selection is brown, brown, or brown. But you don't have to, because Leaders Casual Furniture carries a wide selection to choose from. 18 locations. Find one at leadersfurniture.com.
Help! I need somebody.
Tune in Friday mornings at 10 for the Real Estate Pulse with Aaron Kadron and Company. You'll get real solutions to real problems that home sellers like you are facing. Aaron will share her system for attracting buyers and creating demand that is selling homes for 18% more money on average than the traditional real estate agent. Aaron will also explain how to sell your home in 59 days at a price that you agree to, or she will buy your home for cash. It's the Real Estate Pulse Friday mornings at 10 right here on News Radio 1580 WCCF.
Good morning and welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. This is a live medical talk show in which you're invited to participate. If you have a question or comment along the way, please call us at 941-206-1580 or toll free at 888-441-1580. And now, here's your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Thank you. Happy New Year, everyone. As you know, the last two shows, we've been doing encore performances because I've been away. If you look at Facebook, you can see that I was in Las Vegas, and I have a beautiful picture of me and my husband in front of a gorgeous mammoth skeleton. Oh my goodness, it was incredible. Today, I want to welcome, I have two guests, and we have Carol Katz, who actually has been a guest. She's come back again. She is a psychotherapist and specializes in addiction specialties. And we have a most honored guest also, which they both are, a teacher. Her name is Ma Ba from New York. She is from an ashram.
Ananda Ashram.
Ananda, yes. Thank you, Maba. And she is a teacher of yoga, philosophy, and meditation, and has such a wonderful aura about her. Such a spirit, I mean, and so knowledgeable. So she's going to be here because we have, and now that the new year is starting, we know that stress affects our health. And we know that the stress increases your risk for heart attack, stroke. It decreases your immune system. It leads you to addictions.
True.
Right, Carol? Yes. Increase alcohol, food, self-destructive behaviors. And we know that stress also contributes to memory loss or lack of concentration. So we have a lot to talk about and how this affects our health. But first, I'd like to introduce Ma Ba and tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you come to learn about this?
Well, like all beautiful things, it was an accident. And I showed up at Ananda Ashram about 35 years ago and began my study of yoga, Sanskrit language, and meditation. And now, over the last years, I'm traveling and teaching quite a bit around the world.
That is wonderful. And I know you're going to be giving a workshop on Sunday at the Yoga Sanctuary. Carol, do you want to give us that information?
Sure. It's this Sunday at the Yoga Sanctuary. The address is 112 Sullivan Street in Punta Gorda, which is just off of Marion Avenue. The workshop is from 1 to 4. If you're interested, there are still some spaces available. You can call 941-505-9642 and just request a space at the Sunday workshop. It's called Om is Everything and Everything is Om.
So you want to talk to us about that a little bit to give us an intro, okay, what we are going to be doing?
Well, the Vedic knowledge of India. It's considered one of the most ancient bodies of knowledge. And it addresses the question, who am I? It seems we maybe already know, who am I? We say I am, and we have a name. But someone gave us that name.
True.
We suddenly found ourselves in a body. We didn't make that body. We identify with the body and mind as being who we are. And at the same time, the body and mind are very temporary state. The mind is changing constantly like a river. But even as the mind is changing, still we are. There's an are-ness there that is there when we were a child, is there in the middle, there in the end. It's called I am. The origin of stress, according to the yoga philosophy, is due to that disconnection,
mm-hmm.
not between just ourself and others. It's a disconnection between ourself and ourself.
Mm. Very good.
And when we have that connection, then we have a connection with everyone, a very nice connection. And when we don't have a connection with ourself, we disconnect with everything around us. So that's like the beginning.
That is, you know, I am so looking forward because I'm going to the workshop too, and on Sunday. And we'll mention again the phone number and the area. But I know your teacher. I want to read this quote because I think it's so important. And your teacher said, and his name again?
Sri Brahmananda Saraswati. Before he took sannyas, which is just a part of the tradition of yoga, he was a doctor, a neurosurgeon, endocrinologist by the name Dr. Mishra. And in Florida, many, many people knew him. He came to Florida so many times, all over Florida, and teaching the yoga philosophy. So some people may even remember that name, Dr. Ramamurti Mishra. So you were going to say a quote of his.
I think it's so beautiful. And the quote is, every problem originates from within. And you know, I'm a family physician, and I truly believe this. Every problem originates from within, not only the obvious, but also countless subtle problems lie deeply rooted in the unconscious mind. And I know the Sanskrit and the Ayurvedic traditions say that many of the illnesses and diseases that we have, we actually give them to ourselves.
Dis-ease.
Dis-ease, right. Unbalanced. Now, and I am totally impressed with modern medicine, but there is more than just medicine. There's the inside, what you were saying, the inside person, the connection to good health. In the latest lingo, they call it therapeutic lifestyle changes that we are to discuss with our patients in any disease. But the philosophy of yoga is so incredible. Could you tell us a little bit? What is the philosophy of yoga?
The word yoga means, it comes from the original word yuj. It yoke, to join. You know, like when I was in India, I saw the cattle walking, and they have a yoke between them, and they're walking. So yoga is about that connection between the individual self and the higher self, and establishing and strengthening that connection.
Unfortunately, it seems like a lot of people think it's just for movie stars. To get lean and mean or whatever.
Yes, lean and mean, yes.
Carol, is that what, don't you think a lot of people think that's all yoga is? I mean.
I think a lot of people relate yoga to just the physical postures called asanas. And because we're such a materialistic society and the body is a material being, that's where we place our importance for most people. Is the physical, the material body. So we want to perfect it.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I think on some deeper, probably subconscious or unconscious level, we really want to perfect ourselves because we're not feeling perfect. So we start with the physical because that's what is known to us.
Mm-hmm.
The inner is less known. It's more mysterious and intangible. So that's where yoga comes in and meditation comes in and the various aspects of yoga, because asanas, the postures, is just one piece of yoga, one branch of it. And there are several other branches of yoga that most people, particularly in the West, aren't familiar with. Mm. So that's where education about yoga comes in.
And it's not to take away from the physical, because we know that being flexible and in good physical health is important for your total well-being, but not just to focus on that. Am I correct, Maba?
Well, if you really, as Sri Brahmananda was saying in that quote, we have to look inside ourselves and find out, where is this problem originating? Is it really coming from outside? Why is it something bothers someone else and it doesn't bother me? Or it bothers me and it doesn't bother someone else? Because we each are seeing the world according to our own, this is Sanskrit word, sanskara. Scar is in there. Our own tendencies, our own input that is put in by parents, society, religion, education, friends, we have been inputted so much. And that collection has given us a sense of who we are and what the world is.
Mm. And when you talk about yoga, you were talking about the postures. But I was reading, too, there's also the breathing exercises.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Breathing is a very pranayama, it's called, in yoga tradition. When you have a lot of tension, the first thing you'll notice is your breath is caught. So when you're tense any time, sit for a minute and just breathe. And right away, you'll feel a release of tension. It's automatic because the breath is the thing that connects the mind and the body, the breath. And it also connects the spirit. The breath is subtle. So there are scientific breathing exercises. When you go to, I'm sure many people that are listening go to yoga classes. The breathing exercises start calming you down right away.
Right.
Because if the breath is stuck, then the mind is stuck and the body's stuck. So how to release that, you know?
It's very hard as a physician. You're right. When people are very sick and they can't breathe, mm-hmm. I myself have asthma. Mm-hmm. And when I can't breathe, you feel like you're breathing through a straw.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying. Mm-hmm. And to be able to control the breath, which is part of these breathing exercises, mm-hmm. to relax and to focus. Mm-hmm. And I went to a conference at the Cleveland Clinic Conference, and the head of the wellness was talking about all the research about meditation, being able during your day to take at least twice a day to be able to meditate, and how your outcome of your health is so much better.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Meditating twice a day, we can talk on that if you want to. Of course, Sri Brahmananda said 30 minutes morning and evening, but we don't even know when we're saying meditating, what are we saying?
Yeah, what are
we
saying?
I like to, when someone says a word, I want to know, what do you mean by that word?
Right.
You know. So meditation can be done actually moment to moment through your entire day and through. Mm. But then there has to be a time, you know, at night we take a shower. We take a shower in the morning, or we wash our clothing, we wash our body, and we wake up with the same old mind that we had yesterday. The same old thoughts, the same old stuckness. But yoga says, no, you can recycle yourself completely. You don't have to be sitting there with that old mind tomorrow. And you have all new clothes, all a new clean body, and the same old junky mind. It's not necessary. It's because thoughts are things. They're subtle matter. And through yoga, this can be pushed along. And with your cooperation, by what you call vairagya, let go.
Let go of the bad things.
No, of everything. Of everything. It's a river. Let it flow.
That is such a beautiful concept, which then the meditation leads to deep relaxation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The body suffers due to the mind for the most part. The pressure that the body has to come under when the mind is in stress, you know better than I do. You're a doctor. So the more we can have our mind tuned properly, working properly, then the body will not suffer so much. Even if you have a terrible thing happen to you, I've seen people with cancer who are very happy now.
Oh, yes.
So it's not to say that you have to be happy only to have a strong physical body. It's your attitude that makes the difference. So
it's true, because I've seen people who have, it seems like they're going to have a panic attack because they have a hangnail, and then I'll have patients who come in. No, really. And yes. They'll come in, and they have cancer spread through all their body, and they're like, look, I lost my hair in chemo. I got this cute little hat. I'm wearing my jewelry. Mm. I'm, you know, their attitude. And I look at that, and I said, God bless them. You know, you're right. How do we react to what's happening to inside and outside? And I know those people who react and have a better attitude, no matter how severe the disease, they're going to be doing better.
You know, everything depends. No matter what we've learned, like today we're learning things from each other and sharing. We learn so many things, especially nowadays. The whole world of knowledge is open to us. But in the moment, life asks you to respond to that moment. No matter how much knowledge you have, you're going to respond according to you. So that response, is it an enlightened response? Is it an unenlightened response? Is it a reaction or is it a response? And that requires, you know, pulling back to the silence. You know, they say silence speaks a million words.
Mm. Yes.
And a million words speak silence. So in that silence, we can come to understand something that we can't through just the logical thinking. We'll come to something, but we'll lose it in the mind. But in the heart, when we go in there and go into the silence, then we can get some understanding about what's really going on. We're not on this side. We're not on that side. We're just pulled out. And I want to see what is the truth of this.
Yes.
We have to have a desire for truth.
You know, if anybody, this is a live call-in show. If anybody wants to call in, it's 206-1580. You know, we have two great guests. We have Carol Katz. We have Maba, who is from New York, and she actually resides at the Ananda Ashram. What's an ashram? And I you know, I want you to, I don't want to sound like
Well, shram, I mean, I'm just going to play now, but just to say that shram means to be tired, and ashram means where you're never tired, but where you take rest.
Okay.
But ashram truly is an educational, spiritual educational center. We have education and everything, and we also have spiritual education. Meaning, okay, we were talking meditation, but can you just jump into meditation? No. You need an atmosphere, don't you?
Yeah.
You need a place. Look around your apartment, look around your house. Where is that quiet place, you know?
We have a caller, excuse me.
Go ahead.
Hi, caller. What's your question?
Hello, Dr. Triana. I want to lower it. I just want to tell you this is a wonderful program that you're having today. And she's right. You know, I mean, it's so, so true what she says, because the mind is everything. Did you ever see a girl, a young lady who's going to get married, how she flourishes, or when she's pregnant, how her face just glows and everything just glows. So yes, when when you're happy, when everything inside is just working fine, it just shows. You radiate with it. So that's so true.
And well, thank you.
Oh, it's beautiful. I love the show. I think that's why you're not getting a lot of callers, because they want to hear what she has to say. But meditation is, and I do meditate too. And thank you, Dr. Triana.
Thank you so much for listening.
Okay.
Thank you. And can I say, I would like to say, Mama, I look at you and you have that translucent, beautiful glow too. And your skin, and I don't think you're wearing any makeup, are you? And it just shines. You have beautiful skin.
Well, I could say you have eyes to see.
Because you were talking about the bride, I said, you know, you have that glow too. But talk to us about, again, about the ashram.
Okay, Ananda Ashram. It's in Monroe, New York. I hope everyone will look it up online. AnandaAshram.org. And it'll usually be on Google, one of the first ones that comes up, because it begins with an A.
Okay.
So Ananda Ashram. And we're celebrating this year our 50th anniversary. 50 years, one of the oldest ashrams in the country. It's called the Yoga Society of New York is the formal name. And Ananda Ashram is called the country retreat of the Yoga Society. So we have Yoga Society of New York and also Yoga Society of San Francisco, both founded by Sri Brahmananda Saraswati. So the ashram is a place for people to come and learn all the aspects of yoga and the Sanskrit language, which is the underlying language under yoga, under meditation, all the Eastern philosophy. Sanskrit called the science of sound vibration. Everyone's heard the word mantra, you know. It's
yes.
Become a regular word now in the world. And mantra is a sound. And that sound, every sound we make, it carries a current of energy. If we yell in anger, we say something sweetly. And when Sanskrit is designed to transmit this higher knowledge, just as Hebrew is, it's designed to transmit that knowledge, and you have to experience it. But Sanskrit is something very fundamental to the ashram. You know, every ashram has something where they specialize, and our guru felt that Sanskrit was one of the highest healing forces, you know. When your mind is stuck and full, you have to have something to give it a push out. And that's where mantra, it has a high frequency vibration, and it can push this mind stuff on its way.
So that energy also helps
bring
calm
peace.
You, bring
that's
peace.
Right. Because it was only the mind anyway that was bothering, you know.
And we have another caller. Oh, I guess they hung up. Caller, call again. I'm so sorry. If you have a question, please call again. I didn't want to, I wanted to tell you that we have such wonderful energy here and such great conversation. Carol, I know that you are very involved there too at the ashram.
Well, I do visit Ananda Ashram.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, a little over 40 years ago, it was the very first ashram I ever walked into. I had been practicing meditation and asanas for a few years before that, for my late teens. And I went and I met Ma's guru, who was giving a talk. And I had a very powerful experience. And I knew that that environment was where I belonged. And
we have another caller. Excuse
sure.
me. Hello, caller.
Hello. Hello?
Yes, what's your question, caller? We're talking here. What's your question, caller?
I have two-part questions. Number one, the first one is, the two guests that you have, what drove them to seek the spiritual path of yoga in the initial beginning? And number two, how has that impacted on their life?
That, very good question.
And the second part of the question also has a relationship between your guest as a psychotherapist, who is from the new world of medicine, so to speak, and the second guest, who is from the old world of practices that are thousands of years old. How do those two come together without colliding?
Okay, wow, those are great questions. We will go ahead and ask our guests those questions. So do you want to start, Carol? Thank you, caller.
Thank you. Great questions. We probably could do a show on each one.
Yes.
So what brought me to seeking a spiritual path was just an inner feeling, actually, from a young childhood. And I was just speaking to Ma about that on the way here, was that I would look around and I saw everything in this material world that we live in. And I would keep coming back to the question as a young child that there has to be more than just this. There has to be more. And I didn't feel that I was born to just have a family, raise children, get a house, get a car, go to school, that there had to be something else that I was meant to do in this life. And eventually I came to reading about Eastern philosophies and practicing meditation and asanas. I met Ma's guru in my early 20s, and a few years later I met my own guru, who actually wound up coming to my hometown of South Fallsburg in New York, not far from Monroe. And myself lived in an ashram for many years, mainly in India and also a few years in America. And it's been an integral part of my life since my teenage years, and has really given my life purpose, inner purpose.
Mm-hmm. That's very important.
And it was wonderful to come back to Ananda Ashram years later and meet Ma and have that connection and be a meditator and love chanting in the Sanskrit language and having mantra and doing asanas and integrating all the different branches of yoga into my life. And it takes time, it takes practice and perseverance.
How about you, Ma? How about...
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to say mine is the same as Carol's. I wanted to speak to the question of old and the new.
Very good.
Yoga has never been so popular as it is now in this world. And there isn't a city, there isn't a town practically that doesn't teach yoga, which is an ancient teaching. Why is it that it's modern? My guru said, science will prove yoga to be right, and yoga will prove science to be right, and they will merge as a complete knowledge. So they shouldn't be afraid of each other or disconnect from each other or consider that they're different. They're not different. One will prove the other correct. So yoga is a complete science. It's a natural science. And it's serving the world right now. The world is upside down and backwards, and yoga is going to set it back on its feet, is my feeling, because we don't understand ourselves. We don't understand many things. And you know, when you don't understand something when you're a kid, where you go to your grandmother? So then you have to ask your grandmother, your grandfather. They'll know, they'll give you the wisdom you need. So we need to respect the old and the new. Thank you.
The old has become new.
And, yeah, and they can
right. And they're connected.
Yes.
It's timeless. Yoga is timeless. Yeah.
I think one of the things that I find as a family physician is many people, for example, people with diabetes, they don't take the sense of wanting to take care of themselves. Like you were talking about the inner purpose. Sometimes they don't want to take, you know, an interest in what they're eating. They'll eat whatever they're not supposed to eat, all the wrong things. They don't want to learn about their disease. And I wonder how we could, using maybe meditation, people can focus more on caring about themselves. What do you say about that?
I think through the practice of meditation, we begin to realize that we're not only the body, that we're a spiritual being in our essence. So as we take care of the spiritual part of ourselves more, not only does the physical part react to that, but we begin to identify more as time goes on with that rather than just as a physical body. So the importance shifts, and it's not that the body isn't important, because it is. We need it as the vehicle, and we need to take care of it. But sometimes when the body isn't serving us in the way we hoped it would, or we become disappointed in the body when someone gets an illness, then we tend to not be happy about that and not want to take care of something that's not taking care of us. But as we pursue meditation or the spiritual part or the religious part of our life, then people learn a different level of self-respect. And I think the body reacts to that. And then we want to take care of the body because we see it as a vehicle for bringing ourselves inwardly to a higher place. So it really is about attitude.
Inspiring patients to, like you were saying, to self, do more self-respect, more care about their bodies. Mm-hmm. Do you find that too?
As I was saying earlier, we're influenced by so many things in our life. And we're not taught to feel. We're taught to think a lot, but how to feel and to be able to feel and that it's okay to feel is something that's been very much blocked often in a person's life. If they have a certain parents or situation where those people didn't know how to feel, then they're also going to be passing that on. So then here we are, a feeling person, which every person is, and not knowing how to really feel what we feel. So to love ourselves is yoga. It's beyond yoga. Yoga is just a medium through which we can have realization about ourselves, who we are. We are pure love inside. Why is it that it's not being able to express and to feel? And to love ourselves has to be the first love. We shouldn't feel. That's wrong. It's the first love is for ourselves. If we don't love ourselves, we can never love anyone else.
Hmm. So correct. And I think this is great to take a little break. And then we have so much more to talk about.
You're listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues here on News Radio 1580 WCCF. We encourage you to visit the Triana Center for Prevention in Port Charlotte. You can find that on the web at TrianaPreventionCenter.com. That's T-R-I-A-N-A Prevention Center, all one word, .com. To catch up on previous shows, there's an archive going back to the beginning of the show covering a wide variety of topics. Dr. Triana is accepting new patients currently and will ask the doctor to give her phone number out in just a little bit. In the meantime, if you'd like to call this program, our numbers are 941-206-1188 and toll free at 888-441-1580. And now back to Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Hey, all right. Welcome back, everyone. And we are so blessed today to have two great guests. We have Carol Katz, who's a psychotherapist and an addiction specialist. And we have a teacher, a wise teacher, Maba, a teacher of yoga, meditation, and the Sanskrit language. She is from New York. And one of the things that I wanted to bring out, which in my studying, is you were talking about loving yourself. And all the concepts you're saying are universal. And I read that these truths are independent of time, place, culture, or society. Connected to the universe, experiences that are encountered in meditation. Because I read that at the ashram, it's non-sectarian. So could you explain about that?
Because a human being is a human being, aren't they? And love is love. Everyone has known that from the beginning of time, what love is, or has experienced it. And everyone is a human being since the beginning of time. Knowledge has many aspects. It can be broken up into different societies, different cultures. But there is a thread of truth that runs through all the different traditions. And hopefully in future time when we're what you might call a more enlightened society, not always looking for the differences, but looking for the unified point. What brings us together, not what separates us.
Correct.
So these pure truths in every tradition can be misused, overused, abused. They can be used as a gun to shoot somebody with, or they can be used in any misused, but the truth itself is sitting there, and we can see that there's a thread through every tradition. Every tradition says you're not the body and mind, you're the soul. But then it's brought into all this, you know, all this propaganda, we might say sometimes. My guru used to say, nobody likes to lose their chair. So we have to go back to ourselves to find the truth. You know, we have to go back to ourselves. And it's good that many things fall so that we're left not always just following someone else around, but to get on that journey and find out who you are. Find out why I'm not happy. If others can be fully happy, why can't I be fully happy? Why? What is causing this block? And then know that there's a solution. There is a solution. Never lose hope.
That's really wonderful that you have this passion, this feeling, and you're willing to go out of your comfort area of your where you live and travel to bring this information to others, including here on the radio program. And Carol, too, you know, working with Maba and having this, I think it's going to be great, the workshop.
I just want to say again, it will be at the Yoga Sanctuary this Sunday from 1 to 4. The address for the sanctuary is 112 Sullivan Street, just off of Marion in the town of Punta Gorda. The phone number is 941-505-9642. And the title of the workshop is Om is Everything and Everything is Om. It is open for men and women. And also, just for those of you who do think that yoga is primarily the physical postures, I don't think there will be any physical postures in this workshop, except for maybe a gentle stretching in between some talking. So don't feel intimidated that if you don't know how to do any yoga postures that maybe you shouldn't come to this workshop, because it will be great talking and we'll be singing and hearing Ma Ba give us her wisdom.
Very good, because it's true. Because I asked Carol, I said, oh my goodness, I have done yoga and I haven't done it in such a long time. I don't think I can do all the bending and up and down, the dog, down dog, up dog, and everything.
You know, everybody should have a desire to know more about themselves and to have more understanding of themselves and the world around us. And so then we delve into some of these ancient teachings. They, as we in the West have done all this outer research, and we've done it. In the East, they did deep inner research. And so we have to appreciate each other's, what we each have to give. It's beautiful.
And the yoga is based on these very important, the philosophy and these very important texts, which is on the Om, it's going to be from an Upanishad.
Yes.
So
Upanishad, the Vedas, you know, when you hear of the Vedas, this vast ocean of knowledge. It's too vast for any one comprehension, and so it's broken up into these four parts. And one part, it's all called Shastra, the body of knowledge.
Okay.
And those Shastras are broken up into four, the Vedas, and et cetera. There's four parts to it. The Vedas are also themselves broken up into the ritualistic part and the knowledge part, called Karmakanda and Jnanakanda. So anyway, this body of knowledge, how they went into, and which we'll be going into on Sunday, our very own life it connects to, this ancient teaching, these three states of waking that we are now in, what you call the waking state.
Okay.
And then the consciousness goes into called the dream, and then into the deep sleep. Every day, that consciousness passes through the waking, through the dreaming, through the deep sleep. And waking, dreaming, deep sleep, and then you see on the OM that dot, and beyond waking, dreaming, and deep sleep. And that's what this is discussion on Sunday will be about. These various states that we enter. You know, we really should get enthusiastic about finding out about ourselves. Every night we close our eyes and the world disappears.
And we dream.
And we dream. And that's a whole world. And then that dream ends and we go into what's called sushupti, deep sleep, where there's no little I anymore. There's no world. There's no dream. And still we are. And then we wake again into the waking. And then suddenly that dream isn't real anymore. And it was very real at that time. They did all this inner research. It's really fascinating for me. I love this. You can tell.
Yes. And we have a caller. Yes, caller. What's your question, caller? I think it was science now. I find it so interesting that you are talking about philosophy that's thousands and thousands of years old. Okay? Now we are in the year 2014. We do research. We have computers. Guess what? Everything, like you say, is becoming one. There is so much research about how important sleep is to your health, that if you don't sleep, you are at greater risk. If you have, here's our caller again. Hello, caller.
Hi, could you tell me what the workshop on OM is all about?
Okay, we will. Thank you, caller. We'll address that. Thank you. Who wants to talk about about the workshop?
Like about the
workshop? Question, they want to talk more about the workshop.
Okay, well, that's what I was just now starting to explain, that it's called OM is everything and everything is OM. If you remember this statement, everyone knows the statement, in the beginning was the word. Everyone's heard that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. See, everyone here agrees. Of course, my teacher, Sri Brahmananda, said, no, in the beginning was the sound, then the word.
Mm-hmm.
So everything begins with vibration, then sound. And there's a whole study, and the Mandukya, this is called the Mandukya Upanishad. Don't be afraid of all these names and all of that. We're going to be actually chanting these 12 verses and going into the meaning of these 12 verses, which explains who are you and what is this universe. And they're so very simple verses, and they will require a long time of, you know, a big meal requires a lot of digestion. So if you have good Agni, good digestion. I was going to mention something else, so I hope that gives you some understanding. It's all about understanding ourself.
You know? I always understood OM as like the primordial sound, the first core sound of all sounds. And if you look at many chants, it begins and ends with OM many times.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, when I chant OM, which I love to do, so I'm so excited Ma's doing a workshop on OM. It's one of my favorite
sounds. For me, when I chant Om, it creates such a vibration and resonance in my body that it's like it balances everything in my body. So if there are any blocks anywhere and I keep chanting Om, it's like my body becomes just a pure energy field. And it's just free-flowing energy.
That's wonderful.
And so that's the power of Om. It's very powerful.
You were going to mention something else about the Om workshop?
No, I was just so taken with Carol's beautiful explanation.
I think she
should teach this workshop, definitely. But, yeah, you know, we're talking about sound and sound vibration. So it's experiential. You know, you have to come and experience that.
And I will.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was going to say one more thing about this, that this beautiful Vedic guru, Swami Gangeshwarananda, he said the Vedas and this Upanishad that we're teaching on Sunday is one of the main 108 scriptures of the Veda. Of those, there's 10
okay.
that are the main. And this Mandukya is one of those 10. Mm-hmm. So Swami Gangeshwarananda said, you know, when the world was created, everything that's created in this world, it comes, if you make something, it comes with an operating manual. And so the world, when it was created, it also came with an operating manual called the Vedas. And so that's what he calls
it. Oh, that's great.
And you don't have to know Sanskrit. It's just by chanting it, it will have its effect, even if you don't know.
Benefit.
Like they say, if you touch a wire, an electric wire, you're going to get a shock whether you know what electricity is or not. You're going to get that shock. So this vibration you will get by this chanting.
That's a very good way of saying it. One of the things I find is that a lot of patients complain about time. An example is they say they don't have time to either exercise, see the doctor, meditate. Mm. What's your response to people when they tell you this?
See, again, this whole operating manual idea, it connects to that. That in the Vedic tradition, there was a purpose to life. And the four purposes of life, they're called the Purusharthas. I forget about the big words, but that was the name. So every life has, every table has four legs in order to stand strongly. Artha is called your financial situation. I'm going to bring it into modern language. Okay. So artha means your responsibility for yourself financially in this world, economically. Everyone must have that in this world, to stand strongly on your own two feet.
Okay.
But that's not our whole life. Then we have kama, which is called desire. The Vedic tradition says desire brought us here to this world. And it's desire that's propelling us through this world. And how to really fulfill our desire and have it really be. We have desire, and then we want to do something, and then we turn out it didn't fulfill that desire. It brought us more pain because our knowledge isn't correct. So fulfilling of desire or fulfilling our creative fulfillment, everyone must have an emotional fulfillment in their life. Then dharma is the third one, which means our duty and responsibility to those around us, to our world, our society, our family. That is necessary. It's called dharma, our duty, our responsibility, not just for our own. And then moksha, what that means. Moksha, in essence, means release. It means liberation. And so in these Indian, in the Vedic tradition, self-realization was the goal of life. Meditation, in other words, we can call moksha meditation for our day, current day. If you don't have those four legs, and one leg is wobbly, don't say you don't have time, because we don't think that's important. That's why we don't have time. But if we know that all those four legs must be solid, then we have a nice strong table.
You're right. That's good.
There was a comic I saw somewhere recently, and I can't even remember who it was by, but some great yogi. Someone, he said, if you don't have time to meditate twice a day for 20 minutes, then you need to meditate for an hour.
Well, that leaves you kind of stuck there.
And you're right. It's about priorities.
Priorities, for sure.
And prioritizing to take care of not your inner health, your outer body health, and focusing on these priorities. Mm-hmm. You know, that four legs really says it all.
It does say it all.
And in the Indian tradition, Ma, isn't it true that as people age, they go through the different stages of where, similar to, I guess, in the West, where they do their schooling, they create a career, they have their families. And I think the piece the West has been lacking, and maybe it's beginning to get, and this was the piece that as a child I didn't see, which I yearned for, was the piece of now retreating into a more spiritual life and renouncing the family ties, the career ties. Isn't there that process of stages in particularly India?
There is that. But I would say it's true. That is the ancient tradition of brahmacharya, grihast, vanaprasth, and sannyas. But all it's saying is, you know, we can't spend all the time outside. We have to spend some time inside.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the tradition that as you get older, it was time. It's going to be time to be leaving this world at some point, isn't it? And we have to then get in touch with that inner space. Do we know where we're going, where we came from, who we are? You know. Mm-hmm. So as we get in that final stage of life, we should start looking inside. And that means, to me, it means be still and know I am, that I am. I'm not just this temporary show going on, you know, but I'm something more than that. But words will not help us. We have to experience through the silence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, this has been such a wonderful, our program is about to wrap up.
And you are such a wonderful interviewer. Really, you are beautiful.
I have more questions. I know. There's not enough time.
That's the way it should be.
We'll bring her back.
We need a part two and three for this one.
Oh, it's so wonderful. Both Carol and Maba. I mean, the time has just flown, and you would not believe I have more pages of questions and readings.
I still have lots of questions, too, in my life, and I don't expect all of them to be answered. But, you know, there is something that says, what is that one thing if you know everything? Who am I?
Oh, wow.
Om Shanti.
thank you so much. And remember, the Yoga Sanctuary. Tell us again, Carol, real quick.
Yeah, so if you want more wisdom and knowledge from Maba while she's here visiting from New York, there is a workshop she's doing this Sunday from 1 to 4 at the Yoga Sanctuary in Punta Gorda. And you can call them at 941-505-9642. It's at 112 Sullivan Street off of Marion, and I believe they do have some spaces still available.
And this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana from the Triana Prevention Center, thanking my wonderful guest,
WCCF Punta Gorda.
News Radio 1580.
Charlotte County's only news talk radio station, serving you around the clock.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under